Sports Beat Extra on Beat.
I'm delighted to be joined by Off the Ball's Phil Egan to look back on the latest Champions League action as PSG hosted Bayern Munich in a 9-goal thriller. But Atletico Madrid and Arsenal played out a much more predictable 1-1 draw. Phil, looking back on those last two nights, it's kind of the duality of football, really, wasn't it, to witness both of those games?
Absolutely. I mean, Tuesday night was incredible. But I do get people's point that some people question some of the defending. And if we watch football like that and it was like that every time, would you get sick of it soon? So maybe the treat was that it doesn't happen so often. So when it does come along, you're just wowed by it all. And fair play to Bayern Munich, because when it went 5-2, I did fear for them. You think of how PSG can blow teams away. They did it to Chelsea in the first leg when Chelsea looked like they were hanging in there, and PSG scored a couple of late goals, and that was pretty much the tie done before they got to Stamford Bridge. So 5-2 up, and Vincent Kompany wasn't even on the touchline. He said in his post-match interview, to score 4 goals away from home is pretty incredible. He did also say to concede 5 goals away from home in a Champions League semi-final would usually mean you're done and dusted, but it certainly is set up lovely for the second leg in Munich on Wednesday night, where if Bayern score the first goal, that place is going to be absolutely rocking. And it would be rocking beforehand anyway. But PSG won't panic even if they were to go behind in the tie. They know they have enough firepower. I think they have the better midfield and all round are a better team. I kind of felt going into the semi-finals that they were the best placed team to win the whole competition. But I suppose if you're Arsenal or Atletico Madrid, which is obviously finally poised at 1-1, if you were going to play a PSG, you'd want to play them over one game rather than two legs. You think back to the Women's Champions League final last year where Arsenal took down the mighty Barcelona, but it was one game, whereas over two legs, you've less of a chance.
Yeah. The first game, I suppose, that PSG-Bayern game, like looking at it, it was really just a battle of those front threes, really, wasn't it? And it's kind of, I think we saw a side of maybe Ousmane Dembele that we had been missing a bit this season, or at least has been a lot less frequent since his Ballon d'Or win.
Yeah, and there was even signs the other night, you'd think of the chance that he had where he missed, and he had a few chances against Liverpool in the quarterfinals as well, but it's just even the supporting act he has around him, what a supporting act it is. Gvaret Scheglia is one of the best players in Europe at the moment. He's just a joy to watch. Just that old school, puts the head down, runs at defenders, commits them. He can finish as well. And, you know, he's not afraid to do the hard work. But that is what Luis Enrique has brought to PSG, that if you're not willing to run your backside off, you're not part of this team. And you look what's happened since the superstars, the so-called superstars, have gone, PSG have gone to a different level. And it's very much a team game with them. And, you know, you look at the midfield, Vitinha is just a joy to watch. João Neves, I love watching him as well, scores his header. Fabian Ruiz comes back in. Zaire Emery is still so young. They've just got so much talent. They've got a good back four. I did wonder about Safonov in goal. Obviously, Donnarumma was key to them winning the Champions League last season. They went and bought Lucas Chevalier in the summer. He's been dropped. Safonov is now the number one. There is certain moments where I wonder about him, but then you look down the other end as well, Bayern Munich, and Harry Kane, just sometimes you see him dropping into his own half, and then Elise is just a joy to watch. There's not many better players than him at the moment, so I really just can't wait for the second leg on Wednesday. I think it's just going to pick up where they left off.
Yeah, I know you mentioned Safonov there, and I suppose when you look at a 9-goal thriller, it probably never reflects well on either the defence or the goalkeeper, but in Safonov's defence, he was actually quite decent on the night. But on the other end of the pitch, you look at Manuel Neuer, 5 goals conceded, not a single save throughout the game. If he kind of has a performance like that again, and I don't know, where do you lie on the goals he conceded? Because I'm kind of 50-50 between the last two. I think maybe he should have probably gotten to that second Dembele goal. But is it a case that maybe he doesn't have the vision to see where the shot's coming from that late on? Or what do you make of all that?
I think just the way the teams play so quick and the pace that they play it as well, that sometimes the keepers just can't keep up with them. Also, like Neuer is, you know, he's at the end of his career, really. And there were signs of that even in the Madrid game where you just think of the goal that he gifted to Arda Güler. So he's not the Manuel Neuer that we once saw, but he's still a really good goalkeeper. But yeah, he'd be disappointed with himself with some of those goals he conceded. Obviously, we haven't even mentioned the penalty given against Alphonso Davies. And a bit of a topic this week is the people that are used to watching certain leagues, maybe handballs that are given in Europe mightn't be given in the Premier League, which you kind of think of the one that Ben White conceded for Arsenal. You think of the Alphonso Davies one, where clearly we're kind of told, we were told the rules are that if it hits your part of your body and deflects up onto your arm, you should be okay. But as we saw during the week, that isn't the case.
How does, I suppose, domestically for these two teams going into a second leg, how does it look? Because obviously Bayern have shored up the Bundesliga, but PSG still haven't fully secured Ligue 1. I know they're 6 or 9 points ahead now. They'll have a domestic game at the weekend, you know, against Lorient, I believe. But you, if you look at, like, do they need to kind of split their talent across these two competitions, or do you think they can still kind of put out maybe a second string side, or at least a weakened side at the weekend, and go out into the Champions League fully focused and fully rested?
They'll go weakened team at the weekend because they're still good enough to get a result domestically, and that's probably key to why they're so good at this time of the season now, where some of the Premier League teams, and we'll probably see this at the World Cup in the summer as well, where, like, I think Thomas Tuchel's going to have an issue with his squad being absolutely shattered by the time they get to the World Cup, and the heat probably won't help either. Whereas, look at Marquinhos is taken out of the starting 11 regularly in Ligue 1, and then he can come in and play Champions League games. So that's the beauty of PSG, and people wonder why they're so good. Well, obviously they've got great technical players, but key to that as well is the energy they play with, and maybe other teams or other clubs can't do that because they can't rest players the way they can in their domestic league. And you know, their second team would still win the league. Now it's a lot closer this season than we would have thought. Lens have put in a hell of a performance, but Bayern Munich obviously having it wrapped up means they'll both, certain players will obviously get a run out because you still want to keep sharp. You want to, there might be certain players that the respective managers want to get a few more minutes into just to keep them sharp, whether it's just play a second half or play one half, play the first half, play an hour. I don't think footballers mind playing games if they're told there's to do less training, and you're at the business end of the season as well, so you know that you've got plenty in reserve and it's time to go full tilt now.
Moving from one extremely entertaining game to one probably a bit more tactically minded, Atletico Madrid versus Arsenal. I think it was dubbed by many people in the football sphere sort of the haram ball match, the sort of ungodly sort of football that both teams seem to play, at least dealing a lot with set pieces and defensive play. It played out kind of weirdly enough that there was so many chances, and you're almost surprised actually that it finished 1-1, but also not the fact in the same way as well, knowing both of these teams, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think obviously Arsenal get a lot of criticism for the way they play in the Premier League, but actually watching them in the Champions League this season, they've been far more entertaining, and that is more a reflection on the Premier League, that the way teams set up against them, and Arsenal find it hard to break them down, so they are more reliant on set pieces, where they don't have to be like that usually in the Champions League. They're the only unbeaten team left in the Champions League. They did create plenty of chances. Obviously, all the talk around the game was about the penalties. They got one each and the one that was overturned, but there was still plenty of chances created in the game. David Raya, who comes up with some unbelievable saves, like every so often he does something a bit wild in terms of the ball at his feet, but he has pulled off some incredible saves this season. He was at it again in Madrid on Wednesday, although I'm not sure what advice he got from his coach about the Alvarez penalty. Maybe they felt he was going to go down the middle, but I think even if he went the right way, he wasn't going to save it. It was the sheer power, and Gyökeres as well has shown that we kind of know where his penalties are going to go, but they're just hit with such power that you're not going to stop them. And in terms of the one that was overturned, I think unfortunately with VAR now, they're always going to try and find a reason either to award something or to disallow something, whether it's a goal, whether it's offside. Well, offside is more factual than being subjective, like a penalty decision. What I would say is with penalties, I think penalties, some of them are given far too easy. Like, I get contact should usually mean it's a foul, but not all contact means it's a foul. Where we're playing a contact sport here, that certain players go down to the ground way too easy for the size of them, that a bit of contact shouldn't send them to the ground. But they know if they don't go to the ground, they don't get the penalty. Luckman did it on Wednesday night, where he stayed up and he had that chance. But if he had actually gone down, he probably gets a penalty. And then the reward is obviously you get a penalty, which he saw that, you know what, I can stay on my feet here and I'm going to score, but he didn't score. So I get where players are coming from, but I don't feel comfortable watching some of the penalties that are awarded where a little flick. Like I think the Eze one, there's obviously contact there. Is it enough to knock him over like that? There's a kind of a category of penalties that I'm not mad about being given. Another one, for example, if you think back to the night in Prague, the one that Nathan Collins got. I don't particularly like them, where two players are going for the ball, one of them gets the ball first, and the other player kicks the foot of another one. There's contact there, but it's not enough to send them to the ground rolling over and then a penalty awarded.
Yeah, it's one as well that I was look actually funnily enough this morning when I was looking back over the TNT Sports highlights, they kind of had the title of VAR controversy denies Arsenal, and I was kind of thinking to myself, if anything in this game, like it looked like Atletico by pure unluckiness didn't come out with a better result. You know, you look at those, that free kick from Alvarez, as we mentioned, the two great opportunities for Griezmann, and even Ademola Lookman in the second half as well had a really good chance to score a second. You know, Arsenal, by all accounts, are quite, I suppose, lucky to have come away with just a one all, aren't they?
I could see, like, it was fine margins. If they get the penalty, Saka would have taken it. The fair chance that he scores and they bring a 2-1 advantage back. But Arsenal would be happy, one all going into the second leg. But Atletico seemed to have a feeling of being satisfied with the draw towards the end of the game, where, like, I thought Arsenal were very good in the first half. They were in control. Whatever Simeone said to Atletico at half time seemed to work. It sparked them into life. They obviously got their penalty. Then they were the ones on top. But for, say, the last 15 minutes, I thought Arsenal looked like the more likely to score. And that's when they were awarded the penalty. And they would have fancied their chances. But do you know what? In a way, like we've seen with Arsenal in the last few weeks in the Premier League, that when they have a lead to protect, they can do it. They're pretty good at doing it, but it can make for a nervy game. Whereas the fact that it's one all means they know they have to win the second leg on Tuesday. Maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe they go in and they're a bit more attacking and a bit more positive. But I think if you're asking me now, I'd be leaning towards Arsenal, which would be set things up nicely for them, a Champions League final and the chance of winning a Premier League. Like, it's so finely balanced for Arteta. He's a few games away from being an absolute hero for Arsenal, where if he was to win the Premier League and the Champions League in the same season, like, that's incredible. Whereas it could go the other way and he doesn't win either, and then people go, why are you always finishing second? Like, there's obviously something in that, it's repetitive. So then people start questioning, what's he doing? So it's a massive few weeks for him. But if you're an Arsenal player, Arsenal fan, Arsenal manager, Mikel Arteta, that's where you want to be. Like Jurgen Klopp used to always say, if you want to win big, you have to be prepared to fail big as well. So that's where he's at.
I suppose, again, it brings back to the same question I kind of had about PSG and Bayern. Like, Atletico realistically don't have much to worry about in terms of La Liga standings. They're 10 points ahead of Real Betis in fourth. They're not going to challenge anywhere near it, obviously, at this stage of the year. But, like, the intensity and, I suppose, the pressure of that game against Fulham at the weekend for Arsenal, which by the time this goes out, that'll be on. But, you know, I know you talk about that pressure and about Jurgen Klopp saying that you need to be prepared to lose big, but in this situation, like, despite Arsenal being at home in the second leg, it really does kind of leave it to kind of Atletico's game to lose, doesn't it, a little bit?
Well, Atletico will love the thoughts of going there as underdogs. And I get what you're saying about the home atmosphere, like the last few games for Arsenal, like there's a real tension in the crowd. And like, I get it, because it's so, like, you know, you're so close to getting over the line, and people question you all the time about, oh, like, you know, you're going to bottle this, and you're so close to proving the doubters wrong. But when it's a close game, you know, it's just one mistake and it can all unravel. And it's on a knife edge, and it just translates both on the pitch and off the pitch. So maybe Atletico can play into that. But actually, the fact that it's a knockout game probably suits Arsenal in terms of it's separate from the league. So whatever happens against Fulham or whatever happens in the run-in and the title run-in, that this Champions League is separate. And I think the way they've played in Europe this season has reflected that, where they do seem to play with a bit more freedom.
I know you mentioned you could possibly see Arsenal just skimming it out to the final. Is it your prediction then that I suppose we have a PSG-Arsenal final this year?
Yeah, I'd still fancy PSG to get the job done. Whether like they only need a draw in Munich. Now, obviously, Bayern have a really good home record recently. They've already beaten PSG in the competition. Obviously, they were beaten 5-4. So the fact that they will create chances, but I think they'll also leave themselves open. Now, if PSG concede a couple of early goals, I still wouldn't worry about them. They just seem to have it in them that they can readjust, and they'll just go back to their process and they'll just create chances. And they've so much firepower, I think they'll score a couple of goals. So can Bayern score another three or four? Maybe they can, but I could see PSG. As I said, I think it could be more of the same. Maybe not nine goals, but I'd be surprised if there wasn't another four or five in this one.
I have to finally, before on a bit of a lighter note, obviously before the Atletico game, it was obviously a load of Atleti fans throwing toilet paper onto the pitch. I don't know if you got a chance to hear James Murray was on BBC Radio 5, and I think he was struck by one of them in the lead up to that match starting. It got me thinking, obviously you've done plenty of commentary throughout the years. Have you ever been struck by anything particularly funny or interesting at a match while commentating?
Thankfully not. Thankfully not. I don't see that much toilet roll at games. I've seen match programs thrown. They've gone over my head, thankfully. I've seen like plastic bottles or whatever. Again, touch wood, I haven't been hit by one yet. So I'm, but I am scanning always just to make sure that something doesn't come my way. I've all, but I like sometimes you, when we're commentating, you're quite close to the fans, and sometimes they hear what you say and they disagree with you, and they shout down to you whether they thought it was a foul or not. Like, they're not afraid to give their opinion to you. But I think we all get emotional during a game, and usually when it's over, we can kind of park it there.
Yeah, it's the beauty of live commentary, really, isn't it, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well,
Absolutely.
that's it. You don't know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So it's, yeah, got to be prepared for everything.
Absolutely. Well, Phil Egan, thanks a million for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure and best of luck.
Cheers, everyone.